I declare the meeting open at 4:04 PM. So it is the council meeting for the 24th of November 2020. Can I ask that we bow our heads for the council prayer? Lord, we humbly beseech thee to vouchsafe thy blessing on this council. Direct and prosper its deliberations for the advancement of this area and the true welfare of its people. Amen. I would also like to acknowledge the Wangal people who are the traditional custodians of this land. And I would also like to pay respect to the elders, both past and present, of the Wangal nation and extend that respect to other Aboriginals present. Just a reminder to councillors and those members of the gallery that might be watching that the meetings of council and council committees are audio and video recorded for the purpose of assisting with the preparation of the meeting minutes and promoting meeting transparency. Such recordings are subject to the provisions of the Government Information Act of 2009 and are made available for public review via the council website. I note there's no apologies. Is that correct? I also note, councillors, so I'm going to ask you to just remain on mute. So you just need to raise your hand so I can see for those of you that aren't present in the chamber when you wish to speak, and then I will hand over the floor. Declarations of interest by councillors. So, Councillor Furneaux-Cook, you have a declaration of interest.
Yes, I have two to declare. The first one is item 10920, which is the issue of the LEP housekeeping. It mentions Livingston Street. That's my primary residence. I'm an owner-occupier. So it's a pecuniary and significant, and I won't be participating in that discussion.
Okay, and the second one you had?
And the second one is item 11220. It's just again about it's a less than significant non-pecuniary interest because it names the Geographical Names Board. As part of the board, I will be recusing myself, so I'll participate in this discussion.
Okay, that's been noted, Tanya. Any other declarations of interest? I sought advice from the GM, just for the record, but there's no, on the review of the planning local environment, that 109/20, because it's not a planning decision, but from the best of my knowledge, neither I or my family own any property in that area anyway. So that's fine. So it's not a planning issue, but it's still okay. Like, I mean, if you want to declare a pecuniary interest and remove yourself. Any other declarations of interest by councillors? Can councillors hear me quite well at this distance? Okay, good. Okay. Declarations of political donations. Can I just ask, do we still need that section in the agenda, considering there's no more development applications we deal with? I know it's always sort of been on there and it was sort of introduced, but can we just review that? Because anyway, it's just a note. And a recording of councillors voting on planning decisions. Now, I'm not sure if I'll seek advice on 109/20, whether it's a decision to allow the staff to move forward on, but we might do a record of the voting anyway, just to be safe. I've got the meeting minutes for the meeting held on the 27th of October, 2020. Where copies have previously been circulated to councillors. So there's a recommendation there that they be confirmed as true and correct record of the proceedings of that meeting. It's been moved by Councillor Cryant, seconded by Councillor Dixit. Any speakers for? Speakers against? I propose to put the motion. All those in favour? Those against? I declare that carried unanimously. There's no public feedback on agenda items at this stage, for my understanding. Is that correct? There's no mayoral minutes this evening, from my understanding. Is that correct? You haven't sprung any on me. So the first item we'll go into is 109/20. I need a mover first and a seconder, then we can go into questions. So it's been moved by Councillor Manor. Councillor Furno Cook needs to be
virtually in a different room.
It'll lock you out.
Lock me out.
Lock you out. Lockdown. So we're just waiting to...
And if someone can text me to or readmit me.
Oh, we will. I think they just park you somewhere in a park you in a virtual world.
Oh, well, good. I'll have fun. See ya.
We're trying to park you. Has she been parked? Okay. So that was moved by Councillor Manor. Do I have a seconder? It's been seconded by Councillor Del Duca. Nice haircut. questions?
Yes.
Councillor Crine, you've got a question.
Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Mayor. On page 7, our report talks about the traffic and transport study and the urban design study, which have been commissioned, but they have not yet been completed. I'm just wondering what the time frame is for the completion of these, what I view as really key documents for consideration with our board LEP.
Is that for the Burwood North part? Is that traffic study referred to the Burwood North? Is that correct?
So if I can respond to that one. So in terms of the...
Just before you start, Dylan. Dylan Porter, welcome. Dylan's one of our new directors, and I'll get Tommaso to... I was going to get him to give you... I wasn't expecting such an early question early on. So I'll get Tommaso to formally introduce you at the end of the meeting, but Dylan, please, through the General Manager.
Thank you, Councillor, for that question. I guess the Parramatta Road transformation strategy, we actually received an update from the department this week. So there is a broader strategic model for the entire corridor, which is underway, and we're expecting that to be complete and available to us for the end of the year. And then there's more defined precinct-based models, which are expected by mid-2021. So it is still work that's ongoing. The department have engaged the planning delivery unit to expedite that process, and they're committing resources and staff to delivering that project. So it's very much ongoing and at front of mind as we look at the Burwood North precinct, certainly.
Just to touch on that, I had a Zoom meeting with Minister Rob Stokes, Planning Minister. It was about 3 weeks ago now. And we raised this issue with the minister, and it was based on a previous resolution from council with regards to the LEP and the announcement that they had the acronym for it at this stage, but it was to sort of fast track planning proposals during the whole COVID-19 pandemic. And the ministers advised that they will be working with us to resolve the issues. And I think there was an email that I forwarded on to, I think, the GM and yourself, Dylan, last week. I think maybe right. Friday or Thursday.
The planning delivery unit is...
Yes, planning delivery unit, that's it. And they're meeting, did they meet with you yesterday or are they meeting next Monday?
We had a meeting and just general update with them on Monday.
Okay, good. And is the feel that it's they're sort of been given the, well, not the message, but the sort of understanding that this needs to progress now, or are they just sort of still sitting back?
Certainly got the sense, and they've given us commitments in timeframes for completing some of the key studies. And they're also asking questions about what support council might need in the delivery of LEP updates and things like that. So they're certainly making the right messages and nods of their heads. What that turns into down the line.
Because we've had some feedback from residents raising some issues of when that work will be completed. So there's many residents. That's why we sent out an update letter. So there are many residents there sort of wanting to know what's happening. But we've sort of explained that. But we might just wait a maybe early in the new year and we can give them another update letter or sort of mid-new year. If we've gotten some more information from the department by then we might be able to add some timeframes. Any other questions? Councillor Crichton.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Just one more, just in relation to Livingston Street on page 9. From reading the officer's report, it's clear that our survey is now 5 years old for the landowners. And at the time, 5 years ago, it appears that only one in two landowners responded to the survey. So I'm just wondering, when we go out again through our consultation, it's important to me that we really try and hear from as many residents in that pocket of board as possible. And is there any way that we can look at improving our consultation process?
Does anyone, Dylan, do you want to answer that? Okay. I might just add that part of, and I'll just confirm with the GM, that part of the resolution we had previously was that we will hold workshops. So, and I believe the consultation will include a direct letter. So it'll be sent, they'll have workshops, they'll invite them, they'll come and speak. They're quite a vocal group there, I think we know that. And they're quite supportive of trying to get, I think they want the, the whole 10-to-1 zoning, like they think that they deserve a 20-storey tower there, but we understand that obviously it's got to go through a planning process with proper planning principles to be applied. So did you want to add anything to that, Tommaso or Dylan?
Mr. Mayor, you're correct. We had made a commitment a few months ago formally at a council meeting that we would conduct workshops. So that's part of the engagement strategy. And we'll ensure that everyone's engaged, everyone who's willing to participate and list they're informed of the process.
Because from the report here, it seems as though there's two distinct groups within Livingston Street too. There's the northern side of the street and the southern side of the street, where in the last survey only three replied, but two were against it. So,
yeah. I mean, it's a tricky situation because a boundary is always got to be drawn somewhere. And how much, going back and looking at it now, and I was part of the whole process back in 2002, I think, when it started with the vision document and they drew the boundaries. That northern part of Livingston Street was always included in the town centre. It was excluded. It was supposed to be for a further study and it never happened. Or it just got delayed and it got pushed away and it got forgotten. And it's obviously a 15-year-old problem that's probably coming back to now. People have gotten to a point to say, well, this has been going on for far too long. And in fairness, they're right, because as you see some of the proposals now that are happening, they're getting that development right on every boundary. So there's a boundary that needs to be drawn. Where it gets drawn, I'm not sure. That's something that our planners will give us some professional advice on.
Thank you.
I think, is that correct? Did you want to add anything?
No, look, I think it's been covered, but yeah, subject to the planning testing we need to go through, and certainly that direct consultation is part of the strategy we'll be deploying. So.
And I think that's really important. So if we begin that discussion and workshops with our community, we can then obviously have an understanding. And I think we've sort of got an understanding of what they're wanting, but then obviously we need to also, it needs to be balanced with planning principles. The thing about that from a planning perspective as well, I think there's a B4 zone on the boundary which has a building height plane, and my question would be, if there's any future planning on the northern part of Livingston Street, does it mean it just gets pushed out with the building height plane to protect the southern side, or is it a different type zone? I'm not sure. Is it a transition zone? I think it's a transition zone at the moment. I'm not sure. But anyway, the thing that I wanted to question and possibly seek adding to the motion, if Councillor Manor and Del Duca would support an amendment, is with regards to, we're talking about the LEP, but I think there's an urgency to sort of have a bit of an upgrade on the DCP as well. And is this part of this process or not?
Yes,
because, and I might now come forward, Carla, if you can, and maybe Dylan, if you guys want to just answer, because I know we spoke about design excellence, but I've been speaking to the general manager, and I know we're doing a bit of a tour of Parramatta tomorrow, but I wanted to talk about whether we do, as part of this motion, give you approval to at least have a formal approval to start the process when you're ready, but to look at one, updating the DCP for design excellence, which will allow an investigation for increased floor-to-ceiling heights. So at least you've got a council approval to sort of move forward with some of this. And the other one is to investigate, and I've spoken to the GM at possibly looking at what they're doing in Parramatta, investigate the a design competition requirement for major developments in the town centre.
I will attempt to answer the various questions. The first thing I would like to add is that, yes, there was a survey conducted 5 years ago, but councillors should be aware that subsequent to that, many more submissions have been made, some of them professional submissions. So we are in receipt of all of those submissions. So whilst the survey perhaps dates to a certain time, that group has been very vocal, and more submissions have been received, and we are aware of all of those. They will be reviewed and taken into account as part of the process. But the intent is to go out with a fresh approach. And before we go out to them, we need to actually test some of the recommendations that have been made as part of the urban design study, which is not complete, but is actually in a very advanced stage. And we are reviewing that at the moment. The other part that I would like to say is that the notion of moving a boundary line is a very simplistic position from the residents, thinking that if they're part of the town center, they will immediately be considered for additional height. Where the boundary lies doesn't really have any relevance compared to what the zoning can be allowed or increased within those two streets. It is only a matter of investigating what would be an appropriate transition in scale. Also bearing in mind that to the south of these precincts, we have conservation areas and a large number of heritage items. So whatever zoning and uplift or change in the controls we applied need to be considered holistically as part of a transition of scale from the town center. The impact of overshadowing in environmental impacts to the south, to that conservation area. And also because in terms of the typology of homes that would be allowed to be built, they need to be in character. So there's a lot of issues that need to be considered in one, and we are going to take care of that as part of the LEP amendments. But the mayor is correct. In order to achieve the proper form, we are also looking at the performance of our DCP controls. So as we discussed with you during the last session, we are embarking on an amendment to the actual LEP control, the LEP instrument, but at the same time, we are also doing a housekeeping DCP amendment to go along with that.
So my question, Carla, just quickly, is would it be beneficial to add those 3 points in this recommendation for staff to have a formal resolution to act on, or is that something you're currently doing? That's what I'm asking. Like, do you want us to add it in there so you guys can start the process, or?
Today, as part of our report and the item in front of you, we are actually requesting...
No, that's the LEP.
Sorry, that's the LEP. With the DCP amendment, we actually don't have a formal resolution, but that is already part of the process that needs to be, that needs to start. So the one item you mentioned before, for instance, to instigate changes to floor-to-ceiling heights, which will... deliver a better outcome, we need to investigate that as well, because it is above and beyond the ADG requirements. So, you know, we need to make sure that before we embark...
I'm aware of that, but what I'm asking is, if I give you a formal resolution tonight, it then means you don't have to come back via a report to seek a resolution. You can start the investigation when you're ready.
Do we need a council resolution to progress to those design exits, or can we just do it operationally?
I might just add it in there just to be safe. So then it saves you having to come back via a report. So when you're ready to start the review, at least you sort of understand some of the issues. It doesn't hurt to include it in there.
No, I think
I'll just add it as a separate section.
The other aspect to bear in mind, we've sort of got the smaller housekeeping amendment process and then the more comprehensive review. So I guess, for example, the design competition, because it has broader impacts, whether that should be more part of the more detailed review. But we can factor that in.
So how about I suggest this, and then you can give me some, if you're okay with that, because obviously I want to work in sync with helping you achieve what you're trying to achieve without having to sort of come back for another resolution, that's all.
Could I suggest, Mayor, that the housekeeping amendment is earmarked at achieving a number of very key milestones by a certain time mid-year, whereas some of the larger changes to the LEP might be best suited, as Dylan is saying, for the larger comprehensive LEP. My fear is that if the resolution comes out of tonight's report, it might be seen as a need to be added to the housekeeping LEP.
No, separate. So okay. What I was going to suggest is you've still got the 1 to 5 recommendations, and then I'll add a 6 as part of the DCP upgrade. So I haven't formalized any time frame.
And remember as well that we do have a housekeeping DCP amendment and a comprehensive DCP amendment.
Oh, okay, so do you want me to add it as part of the housekeeping DCP amendment? Or
the
no?
Comprehensive DCP amendment.
Oh, you want to add it as part of the comprehensive?
That's correct.
But that's a longer time frame to investigate design changes. That's
we're only looking at the end of next year, so it's going to be concurrent.
I want to try to get some of those design competitions in that sort of a bit quicker, that's all. Because if we get some major DAs, for example, like the Holdmark, is that not maybe subject to some, or I know they've sort of got their, but it might, maybe too late for them. Okay. Well, how about I put this and then we can have a discuss. So I won't specify whether it's the housekeeping or the comprehensive. So I'll just put as part of the DCP upgrade, that council further investigate, so you're getting, yes. And then let's have a chat about it and a little bit of a debate and then we can take it from there. Yeah. So as part of the DCP review, as part of council's DCP review, in relation to council's design excellence policy, council further investigate better building design / amenity via reviewing increased minimum building heights for floor to ceiling building heights. And to also investigate design competitions for major development applications.
Just as a point of clarification, are you seeking to add a competition requirement similar to the City of Sydney?
Sydney, Parramatta. I mean, we'll talk about it tomorrow, but at least it's in there for you to sort of look at, and then we can talk about how, at least you've got a resolution. If you need to act on, that's all.
Thank you, Mayor.
Is that?
We can work out the details.
Yeah. Do Councillor Manor and Del Duca okay with that? Okay. Now, I think Councillor Del Duca has. Councillor Del Duca, are you there or have you dropped off? I can't see you.
No, I'm here. Yep. Oh, that's fine.
So, are you okay with that amendment? Oh, yep, sorry, there fine. You are. You're not on my screen, you're on that screen. Okay. Are you okay with that amendment?
Yep.
Are you okay as the mover? Did anyone wish to speak? Are you okay, Councillor Manor, just to confirm?
Yeah, as per council recommendation and the amendments, I'm okay with that. Thank you.
Okay. So it's been supported. So the motion has changed to this, which is included in part six, which I will read if I could see. I can't sort of see that screen. As part of Council's DCP review in relation to, no, stop it there, please. Can you pull it across a bit or not? No, it's okay. Just as the one, because it's dealing with the one issue. So as council, as part of council's DCP, for those councillors that can't see, that as part of council's DCP, this is part six, as part of council's DCP review in relation to council's design excellence policy, council further investigate better building design slash amenity via reviewing increased minimum floor to ceiling building heights. And to also, sorry, can you take out the word building? Because that could just be a bit misleading. So floor to ceiling heights. Is that right, Carla? Floor to ceiling heights? Because if you talk about building heights, it could mean, or would you prefer to keep building in there? Sorry.
Could I ask the council to actually include floor to floor and floor to ceiling heights?
Okay.
The reason is that most developers will attempt to simply shrink the structure or to minimize the ceiling height to really comply. What we want to achieve is greater amenity, and means that they will have to move the floor to floor height as well. So it's floor to floor and floor to ceiling heights.
Yep. Okay. So, okay. All right. So that's the amendment that's been approved by Councillor Manor, and so it's been moved by Councillor Manor, seconded by Councillor Del Duca, who have both supported it. Any speakers for, speakers against? I'll put the motion. All those in favour, those against, I declare that that was carried unanimously. So we can get Councillor... Yeah, all of it was unanimous.
Yeah.
So it was Councillor Manor, Councillor Del Duca, Councillor... Chan, Councillor Dixit, Councillor Crichton, and myself. Just unanimous. The next item is item 110/20, which is the annual report. We're just waiting for Leslie to be allowed back in. Is Leslie back in? Okay. I can't see her. Oh, there she is. Okay, excellent. So the Build Council Annual Report, do I have a mover? It's been moved by Councillor Crichton, seconded by Councillor Chan. Do I have any questions?
Yes.
Councillor Crichton.
Thank you. Firstly, I'd like to say, Mr. Mayor, congratulations to yourself, the team of councillors, the general manager, the directors and staff on a really successful 2019-20 year in what have been very challenging circumstances. The annual report document is a really important document for our community. It allows us to report back to our residents and will help to inform our future planning for Burwood. It's been really well put together, and I really thank everyone who's been involved. Just if I could draw your attention to page 17 of the council report, and we talk there about we mentioned about a video being produced to showcase council's achievement. And I think that this will be a really important tool. And it suggests here that it will be included on our website and via our social media platforms. But when this video is produced, can we think of a broader audience? Because I really think it will be the most important promotional tool that we can use for a whole variety of circumstances over the next 18 months or so. So if that's in mind, a wider audience, it could be the next, hopefully the inaugural Burwood Business Week, or there's a whole lot of platforms. I think that'd be a really useful addition to Council's toolkit. And so that's one thing. And just, I just can't miss the opportunity again of suggesting on page 38, I think, of the actual annual report, where we talk about grant income of $4 million. I think that's an incredible result that we've achieved this year. And I'd just like to suggests once again the importance or the need to have a dedicated grants officer and to really build our grant bid expertise. I think there's a lot of money out there, and let's chase down every dollar we possibly can for BOWID. And just as a really minor point, on page 42 under Council of Professional Development Program, just the way it's displayed, I'll give you a chance to catch up, but there's all the councillor workshops listed, and that's fine, but under that, it's just the way it's been illustrated. It could perhaps be interpreted as though some of the councillors didn't attend those events, and that's not correct. They've kind of nominated to go. It's just the way it's been displayed. So maybe for the next annual report in 12 months' time, if we could just look at that. That's okay. All. Thank you.
Councillor Chan, did you wish to speak as a seconder?
Not really. I mean, Councillor Crichton, I'm just endorsing her comments and congratulating everybody for achieving such a great result.
I have any speakers against or any other speakers or questions? Okay, I'll move the motion be put.
Through you, Mr. Mayor.
Sorry, I'm looking at the screen. I'm not seeing.
Yeah, sorry.
Yes.
Through you, Mr. Mayor, I'm not asking question, but it relates to annual report. I would, through you, Mr. Mayor, I would like to ask from the general manager. I've got a review of my board council IPNR review with me. And in this, there are number of observations or comments which general manager is aware of. Now, how do you respond to these with respect to annual report? That if I say, it says, I'm going to page number, this is a review, and of my colleague Leslie was not present in that, but just to share with you, and I would like that this report should be shared with all of our councillors. If I go back to this column number 2, I'm just giving an example, just to ask response from our general manager, that 2.2, and it says, there are no clear linkages or structural commonalities between long-term financial planning and CSP or delivery program. Further, there is no evidence that long-term financial planning has been used as a guidance document during finalization of CSP plan and the development of delivery programs. And there are a number of comments, such kind of comments are there, which has a direct implications on it. So, and I can read as many comments, and I'm sure I did ask my general manager, we must have spent a good amount of money on this review. So how do you respond with respect to this report? I can read as many number as you like. It says, for example, there are no indicators which are measurable to look at the details, how we are progressing. If you want individuals, I can give it to you, this report to you. I need, through you, Mr. Mayor, general manager's response in that regard.
I'll forward that on to the
chair. Like, for example, I can point out specifically 1.8. It says,
Councillor, I might let him respond because I think you got that.
Let me add this point then. And it says 1.8, CSP does not include any indicators to enable assessment of progress towards achieving strategic goals. Such indicators are required to be included in CSP, and so many of them. Yes, please.
I just, for everyone's benefit and context, the council is referring to an internal audit review that was commissioned by the ARIC, the Audit Risk and Improvement Committee, that was undertaken and presented to the executive and the audit committee only a few weeks ago. It was specific to the integrated planning and reporting framework and the suite of documents that we've got. A number of areas for improvement were identified, of course, and so we are currently in the process of obviously planning for those, and we'll be outlining a plan for the next 12 to 18 months in the lead up to the drafting of the new CSP, which needs to be done in conjunction with the new election, the new term of council, and all the connected documents obviously will need to be incorporated into that phase. So I'll take that on notice. By all means, I'll be happy to circulate the actual report from the independent auditor to the councillors. And then, to be fair, we would then share also the action plan coming from the management group, of course.
So Dixon, did you have another question? And Tanya, I need access because...
through you, Mr. Mayor, that's fairly good if the general manager does that.
And it might be an idea maybe on some, because there's quite detail. This may be come in and have sit down with the GM and maybe Wayne and go through some of those issues that you want to raise. At least that way they can address them directly.
There's more than just Wayne's.
All right. Any other questions? So it's been moved by, was that Councillor Crichton and seconded by Councillor Chan? Is that correct?
Yes.
I'll put the motion. All those in favour? Those against, I declare that carried unanimously. Next item is 111/20.
I'm happy to move, but I'll seek an amendment.
Okay, what's the amendment before I ask?
Oh, is this 111?
This is 111/20.
Yeah. So that's the heritage one. So it's just, it's about, we're just reaching out to the Historical Society because they've got a lot of the information. I just thought that was a way to cut some costs because they devised the heritage trails in the beginning, although they were hard copy. But I don't know if we really need to go to the extent of getting a heritage consultant at $20,000 or whatever. I think we've got local knowledge there. And also, just backing on what Heather was saying, we should partner with community groups and such as the Historical Society, and I apologise, I haven't contacted them, because to help them for these grants for this purpose. And I'm also aware that I just Googled myself that there's also grants that council can get for community engagement. So they are there. That's again just pushing on what Heather was saying.
Councillor, can I make a suggestion?
Yeah.
We don't amend it, and I'll give you a reason why, and then we'll get a seconder. Simply because it's seeking community grants to act on things in the future. Firstly. Secondly, I think the focus is to be on the new heritage trails and wayward signing. For example, there might be plaques in the landscape, walkways along the Strand, or little plaques sort of attached on the side, like they've got at Haberfield, that type.
Yeah,
that's the intent. Sorry.
What my
I can't amendment hear you that well.
My amendment was to actually just engage with...
Just hang on, Councillor. We're just going to try to... that volume.
Okay.
So go now.
Leslie. Amendment was just for council to reach out to community groups such as the Burwood Historical Society, that was point five, to discuss their information on their and images on the existing heritage trails, including the Enfield Heritage Trail. And the other point was for council to update its current heritage page. If you've looked at it, it will cost nothing, but there's only one image on the whole page, it's whole text. And I know that we've got images we use them in our annual reports that we can put into our website now rather than wait for 2021-22. That's what I'm saying. I mean, it's a long time between drinks.
Yeah, I agree. And I think we should use the consultants rather than the Historical Society. And I'm not saying we don't engage with them.
But it's not there in the recommendations. That's my concern. If it's not there for staff, to have some sort of direction. How do they, because this is what we were talking about before, how do they interpret a recommendation if it's not there in black and white?
No, it's fine, but what I'm suggesting is you mentioned in your preamble to the motion that you wanted, rather than spending money on a consultant, to have the Historical Society do it. When I've met, just for your information, I think you're aware of this, and it might just be the context of maybe that wasn't your intent, but when I've met with the Historical Society, they keep telling us they want us to do things. We don't have the resources to do it. The council should do it. You should store it. You should do the books. My suggestion is that we don't have the $150,000 spent on a heritage walking trails digital strategy, including an app, because I think that'll just become cheaper. But definitely there should be money spent on the website heritage page. The trails research and consolidation, yeah, no doubt. And we should probably do the heritage work like they've done it, for example, Haverfield on Ramsey Road, I think it is, where they've got significant, and this could be done at Croydon Park, the Strand, even parts of Burwood, where you might have some plaques imprinted in walkways, you know, where we've refurbed walkways or along the sidewalk, which explains some of the history of the area. And then obviously,
like blue plaques.
Sorry?
Like blue plaques in the UK.
So, but I just don't, and I've got no, objection to liaising with this Historical Society, but I don't think we should have them sort of control the project, because then it won't happen.
I totally agree. It was engaged with them to gather information that they already have. It wasn't that they were going to run it. That was the amendment was council engaged with the Burwood Historical Society on their information and the images that they already have for their existing trails.
Well, how about we just put council engaged with the Burwood Historical Society and other key stakeholders regarding the project?
Okay, excellent. And what about an ad about the update in the existing page with appropriate images?
Yes, I think that's been noted. So moved by Councillor Fernay Cook that a part five, sorry, Councillor, I just jumped in there just to clarify. So rather than part five, which is that council engage with the Burwood Historical Society and other community stakeholders as part of the project. Is that correct, Councillor?
Yep.
Seconded by Councillor Crichton, and you're happy with that? Okay. Now, speakers, please. Any speakers for?
Yes.
Any questions? Sorry, before we have speakers. Councillor Fernay Cook, wish to speak? Councillor Crichton?
No, I've spoken.
Okay. Councillor Crichton?
Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I'm unconvinced at this stage that we need a digital strategy to the value of $150,000. I think we could achieve really good results through simple sign blades and meaningful heritage information on our website. I concur with Councillor Fernay Cook about the pages on our website. I had a detailed look at these today. And just as an example, I think our final heading, one of the tabs under our heritage pages is the suburb today, 1930 to today. So that's 90 years of history that we sum up in four paragraphs which I think stops at about 1948. So there's a lot of work to be done there. And I think ahead of our 150-year anniversary, it's really important that we are proud and value our past, and it's noted clearly on our website. And I don't think we should be reliant on the Historical Society, because although I'd love to have a closer engagement with them, they don't have any social media presence and they don't have a website. So I'm really happy to work in conjunction with them, but I think we need to take the lead and own our heritage and value it, because it's fabulous. And I really think through simple street blades, as I've seen down in the city of Yarra in Melbourne, you can really depict conservation zones very easily just through a simple blade. I don't want to see hundreds of thousands of dollars spent on this, but I think for a very small spend and a considered spend, we could get a fabulous result. Thank you.
Excellent. Any other speakers? Speakers against? Okay, I propose to put the motion then. All those in favour? Those against? Was that unanimous? No objections? Okay, so that's unanimous. Next item is 1112/20, which is the renaming of Hornsey Lane. So it's been moved by Councillor Manor, seconded by Councillor DeLuca.
I just have a question through you, Mr. Mayor. Just with the name gathering activity, I noticed that we start consultation with Burwood Public School in December. I think schools break up about the 9th of December. Well, I don't know, like early December. And engagement through school holiday workshops. Is that really going to work given it's school holidays? And have we had any prior discussion with the schools themselves, whether this is a practical thing for their in their timetable? Have we spoken to the principal of Burwood Public School or the PNC?
Okay, I think Lawrence is, so I'll just hand over to the general manager and I think he can forward that on. Is Lawrence, are you there?
Lawrence, to Tim.
Lawrence should be there.
Yes, yes, I'm here. Yes, I'm just going to scroll down to where those items are. The community development team in council is working with the schools to develop a workshop before school breaks up in December. And we're kind of taking advantage of the fact that they want to do a Burwood, the culture of Burwood workshop. So we're sort of piggybacking off that. And they're also developing as part of utilising school space during holiday time to have workshops and holiday time activity to take advantage of the open space, and we're trying to piggyback off that as well. So that that program is being developed by the community development team, and I believe they are in discussion with the school.
And could I, this is a comment as well through you, Mr. Mayor. Thank you very much, Lawrence. Just with the being on the board, the geographical names board, there is a real push for two areas, for Indigenous naming and for women as well, because I can tell you across the desk of the Geographical Names Board, it's about 10 to 1 about women who are, I'm not putting myself up, you've got to be dead. But and the person does have to be dead. So that is something that we should note, that you know, there's a lot of dead white guys that have got parks and roads and lanes named after them, and rightly so, but it's sometimes not reflective of the community as a whole. And just to staff, even though we do this community engagement about a name, we may still need to, prior to submitting it to the board, to the secretariat, put it out for consultation as well once a name has been decided. But you'll have to talk to the secretariat about that. So it may be a longer process than you think on paper.
Councillor, can I just ask a question? I know it was moved by Councillor Manor and seconded by Councillor Dodica, but we can ask questions now and then we'll go to the speakers. So they could be still living to have a street named after them. For example, like if it was like a former governor like Quinton Bryce, or the local, not the local, like the Aboriginal author that's actually on the mural of a surname, Curly
Saunders.
Do they?
Roads are a bit different. You'd have to check with the secretariat, but for place naming, for a park or whatever, you have to be dead for 12 months. So recently,
they got Keating Park and stuff in Bankstown when he's still alive, for example.
Because the state government at the time, and Olympic Park is a prime example. You have all these living, you know, people, athletes, but that was taken out of that process.
Right. Okay.
But so Jack Mundy, there's a Jack Mundy place coming up, but it can't actually go to, but he died in May and it won't go up. But that's something to talk about, but usually for a place name, so it's not vanity, it's not vanity naming. It's supposed to be right. Someone who was significant. If it's a person rather than a flower or whatever, it needs to be someone who is significant and embedded in the area and preferably dead.
Okay. And now, the reason I'm asking is because there's obviously some some great living women that have been great role models, like the former governor, Quentin Bryce, who's had actually visited Burwood on a number of occasions when she was governor. And also Curly Saunders, who's a Aboriginal author and storyteller, who is also featured on the mural in that Hornsey Lane currently. So that was my question. Like, are they knocked out of the process because of that? Or I'm not suggesting them. What I'm suggesting is the consultation. Like, can people like that still be nominated, or are they?
I said that's what I think. That you staff really need to check with the secretariat before the community is engaged, so they know the criteria, because you don't want to have to go through
naming the place have to go to the names board, even though it's a plaza? So it's technically not a street anymore, it's a square.
The issue is, it's with wayfinding. If there isn't an accident and someone says, quick, call the ambulance, and the ambulance says, where are you? It has to be on like GPS found, and that's through the names board.
But technically it's not a street or a road anymore.
Yeah, but the whole idea is safety, about how do you identify where the place is if someone has an accident?
No, I know that. Someone has
a heart attack in the laneway.
Oh, yeah, I know. I'm just trying to work out whether it needs to go through that whole process of...
Well, yeah, we'll check.
We'll check that out anyway.
Yeah, if you don't need to go through it, I can tell you it's a torturous process.
Yeah, I know. And I think we should investigate that at least anyway, because it's a plaza, it's a square. I'm not saying we shouldn't notify him, but I'm just saying it doesn't need to go through that process. Did you have a response to that, Lawrence, at this stage? Has that been investigated? Like, do squares and plazas need to go through the name change
issue? We didn't investigate changing a square or a plaza. We only investigated renaming a road. So the criteria that we put into the document outlines the criteria that's in the guidelines for renaming a road. So we can go back and check on a plaza, but we are actually removing a road name.
Okay, we've just got to clarify it anyway. So that was moved by Councillor Manor, seconded by Councillor Del Duca. Any other questions or speakers? Do we have any? So any speakers against? I propose to put the motion. All those in favour? Those against, I declare that carried unanimously. Item 113/20, which is the schedule for 2021 council meetings, councillor briefings, been moved by Councillor Chan, seconded by Councillor Ferno Cook. Any questions? Speakers for?
Just one question. Just in regard to, if it's an important item, then I know we've got weekends, you know, meet at 4 o'clock, but if it is an important item, because we're going down the LEP track, we should be able to, you know, do a 6 o'clock and it's at, and we're meeting in public rather than COVID, then we should revert back to 6 o'clock. I know it's a cost to the staff, but it's about, you know, access to the residents.
Okay, so the general manager's advised that they've kept it flexible. The planning panel meetings are at 6, and I'm just trying to have a look. So our December meeting will still be run. Okay. So council remain flexible and varying the commencement time. But yeah, so I think we quite understand that. And we can still run these meetings the way we're running them at present.
Yeah.
Okay. Understood the intent, understood, councillor. So that was moved by Councillor Chan, seconded by Councillor Furno Cook. Any speakers for? Speakers against? Put the motion. All those in favour? Those against, declare that carried also unanimously. 114/20, which is the budget review.
I'll move it, but I have one question through you, Mr. Mayor.
So it's been moved by Councillor Furno Cook, seconded by Councillor Manor. Your question, Councillor Furno Cook?
Just on page 36, under the first, second paragraph, an increase of $500,000 in development application assessment and consultancy fees, that does seem an awful lot, $500,000. Can we get a comment through from the general manager?
Yep, we'll forward that on to the general manager. I believe Wayne's on.
Wayne, if you're there. Or...
Yeah, through you, Mr. Mayor. That's for the assessment and associate works for the Hallmark development site.
Do we originally budget for that, or was that an unforeseen cost?
That was originally.
Sorry, you cut out there, Wayne. Did you wish to repeat that?
Sorry. that was originally budgeted for. But yes. Hello?
Sorry,
yes, but I got that, Wayne.
Sorry.
Question, Councillor.
But it was it budgeted for $500,000? So it's an increase of $500,000. So was it over budget or on budget?
Sorry, can I just clarify? Is that increase of $500,000 totaling all of the Hallmark, or is it across with the Hallmark being the largest?
I would say Hallmark it will be the largest, because we decided to go out to an independent consultancy firm. Is looking after that, and that is, if I remember correctly, close to $300,000 just for that. So remember the magnitude of that project.
Yeah.
But also we've had, in order to accelerate our assessment times, which has obviously been a priority for us, some of the DAs are outsourced. Any DA for which we also have a VPA, obviously puts us in a position of conflict for council, and we've had quite a few of those, and so we outsource those as well. So there's been quite a volume, but it's certainly something I've actually, council, I've highlighted with my executive team, something we have to review for in the longer run, and whether it's a sustainable and feasible approach.
Through you, Mr. Mayor, it was just whether we, it was more about, I mean, it is a large amount, but it is a large project. But was it originally, but was it an unforeseen budget item, as well as the ones above the 491? Were they foreseen budget items, or were they unforeseen extra expenses?
Wayne, so the councillor's requesting a question with regards to whether, or to Tommaso.
Yes, exactly what, sorry, Mr. Mayor, exactly what Tommaso has indicated, but the ones above, they are additional to what was budgeted for. And most of those are coming out of reserves, which we've set aside.
So are these unforeseen projects, or were they, like, I guess the councillor's question is, being large amounts, why they've had an impact obviously on the budget, were they foreseen or unforeseen?
I might attempt an answer. were unfortunately not budgeted. For example, the park outside the library, the project we're discussing tonight, we have made a decision that we would like to retain an element of control in the design and construction phase of that project instead of handing it over to the developer. As such, we made a decision, strategic decision, to allocate additional funds to the consultancies that we had originally budgeted for, but up to a certain point of handover to the developer, we decided to continue the engagement to provide extra comfort and quality assurance for us. Others, such as people and culture, governance and corporates, they are the results of vacancies that we have not been able to fill. And as such, we've had to rely on consultants to continue the delivery of services. Some of these will be addressed as part of the stage two of our organizational structure review, which is due to occur in the in 2021, in early 21. And so a lot of the vacancies will need to be cleaned up and then filled, hopefully.
Okay, any further questions? So that was moved by yourself, is that right, Councillor Furnacook, and seconded by Councillor Manning, is that right? Any other questions? Speakers for, speakers against? I'll put the motion. All those in favour, those against, I declare that carried unanimously. Item 115/20, which is on page 45, which is the investment report. Do I have a mover before we go into questions? Been moved by Councillor Chan, seconded by Councillor Furnacook. Any questions? Speakers for, speakers against? I'll put the motion. All those in favour, those against, I declare that carried unanimously. Item RC5/20, which is the Burwood Local Traffic Committee of November. Do I have a move? That's been moved by Councillor Crichton, seconded by Councillor Manner. Councillor Crichton has a question.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I noticed that Everton Road Strathfield's up again on the Traffic Committee minutes. And I'm just wondering if the proposed raised pedestrian crossing there has any impact on the current parking trial that we've got going on for 6 months out the front of the post office. It's all in that geography. Has it impacted at all?
George, did you... through you, Mr. Mayor, no, it shouldn't be impacted, but we have consulted those businesses and they're informed as to where the parking will be lost, and they're all in favour. We haven't received any objections from those businesses.
And my question also is I raised at the Traffic Committee, which I think we made an amendment to the report for the PLC Kiss and Ride to liaise and investigate, but it's not in this report, that's all. Oh, I can't see it. My eyes are playing up today.
Through you, Mr. Mayor. There is for Young Street, Croydon.
Yes.
We've added that following support from point one above both PLC and Transit Systems, Council extend the existing no parking Kiss and Ride. Those two points, point two and three.
What page are you on? I'm on the wrong page. That's why I can't see it. Okay. I'm looking at the actual report, not the minutes. Yep, okay, that's fine. So that's fine. So it was moved by Councillor Crichton, I believe, and seconded by Councillor Manor, I think it was. Am I correct? Any other questions? Any speakers for, speakers against? The motion, all those in favour, those against, declare that carried unanimously. And the item 38/20, which is monetary contributions received and spent by Council for Public Parking, which is on page 75, which is an information item. And item 39/20, which is the receipt of petition. Now, we need to go into a closed session. So I need a mover to go into closed session. We're moved by Councillor Crichton, seconded by Councillor Furnacook. And the reason we are going into closed session is that we have three items, 116/20, 117/20, and IN40. Okay. So we're gonna repeat that. Sorry, we went into pausing a bit quicker. So there was a motion by Councillor Crichton and seconded by Councillor Furneaux-Cook to go into closed session. The reason we are going into closed session is because we have three items. Item 116/20, which is Conda Street Urban Park and Cultural Centre. Item 117/20, which is the Burwood Park Cafe. And item IN40/20, which is the use of contract panels. And the reason for the closed session, which is to the exclusion of the press and public in accordance with Section 10A2C of the Local Government Act 1993, as the matters involve information that would, if disclosed, confer a commercial advantage on a person with whom the council is conducting or proposes to conduct business. Is there any objection from the gallery? There being no objection, I'll put the motion. All those in favour? Those against? I declare that carried unanimously. Can I now request that admin pause record? We are now recording, so I'll hand over to the general manager to go into read out the resolutions that were adopted by council or resolved.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. So in relation to item 116/20, Conda Street Urban Park and Cultural Centre, council resolved to adopt the concept plans, internal layouts and landscape designs for the proposed new urban park and cultural centre, Conda Street Burwood, undertake a community engagement program to inform the operations of the proposed urban park and cultural centre and receive a report detailing the outcomes of the community engagement process. Authorise the general manager to progress to the detailed design phase so as to enable lodgement of the development application for the project. Authorise the general manager to develop a funding strategy for the project, utilising a portion of the monetary contributions from the VPA for the provision of the public benefits articulated in the proposed urban park and cultural centre, with a further report to be provided to council on funding options once the detailed design and cost plan are further advanced. Allocate funding from the New South Wales Public Spaces Legacy Program towards the new Conda Street Urban Park component of the project, noting grant funding is subject to successful completion of reporting requirements. And finally, to continue to seek external grant opportunities to contribute towards the costs associated with the project. In relation to item 117/20, Burwood Park Cafe, council approved that council agreed to the assignment of the remaining lease period for Burwood Park Cafe to Silver Winter Propriety Limited, and that the general manager be authorised to execute the lease agreements and any other related documentation under his power of attorney following the required ministerial agreement to the assignment. And in relation to item 40/20, use of contract panels, council received and noted the use of contract panels information contained in the report.
All right, and so questions without notice, which will be answered at the next council meeting. I believe that's the process now. So you can ask those questions.
Yeah. Okay, yep. I have a question.
I just had Councillor Crichton first because she had just raised her hand, so we'll get her to ask.
Thank you. Just two questions. Firstly, number one, does Council's Disability Inclusion Action Plan include the provision of tactile ground surface indicators at our curb ramps, pedestrian crossings and bus stops within our town centres to assist those who are blind or visually impaired? How regularly are these indicators audited? And my second question is, in addition to Council's social media platforms, how is Council's Shop Improvement Program 2021 being promoted to our local businesses in Burwood Town Centre?
Okay, so they'll be taking on notice and obviously replied at the next council meeting. Councillor Furneaux-Cook?
Yes, thank you, Mr. Mayor. How often do council's compliance rangers contact real estate agents informing them of leftover signage in the Burwood area That's the first one. And the second one is council, ask council staff aware of other councils' strategies to minimise the use of trailers, storage trailers on their roads.
Okay. So they'll be taken on notice as well.
Thank you.
Any other questions? There being no further questions, I declare the meeting closed at 5:32 p.m. Thanks for councillors and the staff for your attendance. Have a good evening.
Thank you.
Thanks. Bye, everyone.
See you in December.
See you.